This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Spartacus, a motion picture unequaled in the entire history of filmmaking, unlikely ever to be surpassed, starring Kirk Douglas as Spartacus, in the powerful story of the gladiator rebel who sprang from slavery to challenge the awesome might of Imperial Rome.
The symbol of the Senate, all the power of Rome.
I imagine a god for slaves, and I pray. I pray for a son who'll be born free.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. And with me, as always, Sharmila Ganesan and Arvind Yuvaraj. And today, we are kicking off the first in our week-long meditation on masculinity.
As one does.
Because we are going to be talking all about that on Thursday with our Supercut. Tomorrow is also going to be a very male-driven film. And today, we are throwing it back, gosh, how many years? This movie is from 1960. So we're throwing it back 60 entire years to Spartacus.
I have to admit, and then I was rather pleasantly surprised when I found out this was the case with you guys as well, that despite how big this movie looms over Hollywood, you know, Sword and Sandals, epic film history, I've never watched it. And so this was like the first time watch for all of us, which I think is really interesting because I kind of wish I'd watched it when it was new, because I can totally see why it's such a big deal.
Or even when I was a kid.
Yes. Yeah, because I watched things like Ten Commandments when I was a kid and I was blown away. Not to say that I wasn't. I actually really, really enjoyed this. But I do wish I had the sort of I'm a 60s viewer experience.
Yeah, no, if there was a way to go back in time and watch this on the big screen, then I would definitely take that shot. Not for anything else. I don't know if I want to live in the 1960s for any other reason, but just to see movies like this, to see movies that were made for cinema, why cinemas became that big and that huge, I would go back. But at the same time, watching the remastered version, like watching it in 4K, is a whole other experience, which I don't think people in the 60s would have been able to see. So watching it with that kind of definition today also made me appreciate the movie on like so many more levels, like all, like, you know, all new levels, just seeing the amount of work that went into a film like this.
So we all watched the same version, which I think was the remastered version from 2015. Mm-hmm. It included some deleted scenes. It also... it's remastered in every which way. But before that, just to say that Spartacus, not the TV show, not the weird iterations that we've seen in recent times, but Spartacus starring Kirk Douglas, directed by Stanley Kubrick, though I don't think he necessarily wants to claim it as one of his, and written by Dalton Trumbo, who was at the time one of the blacklisted
Hollywood 10.
That's right. Yeah. And this was a return to Hollywood, return to working for him in many ways. And it tells the story of Spartacus, the man whose name just recurs over and over through the film.
Yes, it's a story of a slave during the Roman Empire who essentially causes a revolt and an uprising, and all of these imprisoned gladiators and slaves basically escape, and they try and defeat the Roman Empire to win their own freedom. That's really it, but it is this huge, epic, grand story, and Kirk Douglas is at the forefront of it. I didn't realize this. Apparently, he spearheaded this whole project because he was really upset that he didn't get to play Ben-Hur. And I can
that makes sense.
I totally see it because this really is in that scale.
It's also his production company that led it. So when you say spearheaded, it's really in every which way.
And I mean, I don't think I use that as a way to put him down, because really, Kirk Douglas is, I mean, if you want to talk about movie star, if you want to talk about carrying a film, he is so good. I mean, that dimple on his chin alone speaks volumes, but he's such a charismatic lead for this role, but also really empathetic. I really enjoyed that old world classic film star vibe that he has.
Do you know that he used his chin to imprint the Hollywood Walk of Fame? I'm not even kidding. Like, there were like his hands and then his feet, and then he used his chin. Like, he dipped his chin in the cement and then wiped cement off his chin. So that's how famous his chin is. That's how much people like
it. I can see it.
It's really great because, of course, Kirk Douglas passed away early this year as a 103-year-old, a centenarian. And so I think it's very cool for people who only know Kirk Douglas as like Michael Douglas's dad, yes, or like this sort of frail looking old man, to see him in his prime. And what a prime, right? Mm. I mean, he's on screen for a lot of it. He is kind of leading the rebellion. You have to believe in him in order to believe that this is something that's going to work. And you really do. I think that we have all three of us have very different experiences of this film. And I'll just say that I thought that there was a lot to appreciate about it. I thought that it was a very beautiful movie. I mean, like, we keep going on and on about practicals in this day and age where CG is like lord of all. And Spartacus is one of those films that is really practical. Like, when you look at a field of people, you're looking at a field of people. You know that. And the way it's done, the technicolor quality to it, it's all very lovely. I didn't engage with it at all, I have to say. And I felt every minute of the running time.
Which is 3 hours and 18 minutes.
Yeah, it's no
joke. So yes, I mean, but that's with the deleted scenes. But still, it's an endeavor. It is epic in its own right. I loved it. You know, I think I've been sort of, and you reminded me of this earlier, Arvind, when you said you wish you could watch it in a cinema. And I think just in a year where everything's been just streaming services and YouTube, just watching something epic, watching something that's so starkly good and evil, this grand storytelling, it was great. I think I was in just absolutely the right headspace to watch something like this.
Yeah, but also the story isn't anything special for the 3.5 hours that it runs for. There's nothing deep, there's nothing complex, it's not like nuanced or anything. It's basically, like you said, it's a slave that wants to rebel against an empire. And not even just that, it's about a slave who wants to escape, more like. So it's not even a war movie in the traditional sense. But I don't want to say I love the runtime, but I appreciate the runtime because it starts in one place and by the time it ends, you sort of feel the growth of Spartacus. And you sort of remember him at the beginning and how different he was and how things have changed in the middle. And by the time it ends, you feel like he's been on a journey. And I don't think it would have worked if it wasn't 3.5 hours long. But other than that, there's not much story to look forward to. So I enjoyed it in the sense that it was a good experience, like in a, not even nostalgia, because I don't know what it was like in 1960, obviously, but in a sort of watching old-timey Hollywood movie sort of feel. So in that sense, I enjoyed it as an experience of watching a classic film that was so well done.
Yeah.
Story-wise, not much. There's nothing much there to look forward to.
Yeah, so I think I vibe with that with less patience. So I'm definitely on that end where I thought that it was a really classic old Hollywood experience. I mean, come on. We mentioned Kirk Douglas, but there's also Tony Curtis. Yeah. There's Laurence Olivier, yes, who's like...
who was totally left field. I did not realize he was in this film until he popped up.
Ooh, and there he was,
like
just
10 years, right?
Slice and ham in every scene. I loved it. So yeah, it's a really stacked cast. I think for me, what I craved as a modern movie watcher was maybe a little bit more complexity. So to that point about, you know, massive good, massive evil, I found the good just terribly dull. So, you know, there are entire scenes worth of... there's a whimsical scene involving a goat that's being milked. There are sort of theatre settings in, you know, around a campfire, things like that. And I do believe that in the effort to kind of imbue the freed slaves with a sense of dignity, with a sense of nobility and goodness, the film ends up robbing them of any personality or interest. So I found it difficult to engage with that because I was like, I get it, you're good. Let's go back to Rome now where people are partying and having fun. And so I found myself much more intrigued by the baddies because they have that degree of complexity and I guess inner turmoil that I just wanted a little more of.
So interestingly enough, I really enjoyed the panning of the crowd. The goat scene that you talked about, I laughed.
Sharmila.
No, and you know what it is? It's because I realized that these days, the crowds are not even real anymore. They're just CGI'd crowds,
yes,
right? Mm. Even just seeing actual people play hordes of slaves, yes, they are completely, they have no personality. They're basically gazing up at him in praise and awe. yeah. But they were people. And I think there was something about the tactility and the humanness of everything that actually really got to me. But I will say that the reason I enjoyed the runtime actually was because of exactly that. The fact that there are these great actors chewing the scenery away. You know, you have Peter Ustinov, who actually won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for this role.
My absolute favorite character in the whole thing.
He is so funny.
He's so slimy. Yes. He's just going around.
So slimy.
Yeah, just sliming all over the place.
Yeah, and then there is Charles Laughton, and then you mentioned, you know, Laurence Olivier. So the 3 hours, it for me, it just speeds by. Why? Because you just want to spend time with each of these characters, even when they're not necessarily doing anything vitally important.
I just wanted to spend time with the score. So the longer it went, you just hear the music like loop over and over and over again. I didn't mind it at all. It's like, we spoke about this off air. It's like old school Hollywood sort of orchestra, which sounds really nice from that period of time, which you don't get much of anymore in modern movies because things have changed, right? But I just liked listening to the music over and over because I felt like it fit the movie so well. And it also sort of elevated the movie even more. Like it made it sound really, it added to the epicness of the film, of Spartacus.
I'm kind of envious that you guys liked it, to be honest, because I had my issues. But we're talking today about 1960s Spartacus, the original kind of swords and sandals epic that set the stage for, in many ways, what would come 40 years after in the form of Gladiator. If you'd like to share your thoughts on Spartacus, if you watched it, if you plan to watch it, I mean, we are in the midst of the CMCO. If you are at home or, you know, in need of killing 3 hours and 18 minutes, there you have it. You can let us know your thoughts. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
Slaves you were, and slaves you remain. But the terrible penalty of crucifixion has been set aside on the single condition that you identify the body or the living person of the slave called Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus!
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 I'm Spartacus! I'm Spartacus!
I'm Spartacus! I'm Spartacus! I'm Spartacus! I'm Spartacus!
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture, and I am Spartacus.
I am Spartacus.
No, I'm Spartacus.
And thus do we all end, you know, dying on the road to Rome. Okay.
The end. After 3 hours, though.
Would that it were so simple. Yeah. So we're talking today, of course, about Spartacus. And I want to say that while I registered my slight lack of engagement, my intense lack of engagement with the film, there were moments of sheer beauty that for which I'm glad I watched it, right? So I Am Spartacus, for instance, is such a famous scene. I knew it was coming. And yet when it came, I got chills.
What a scene that was. And you're right that it shouldn't be that powerful. Rewatching Neo dodge bullets now often feels like a parody of itself, even though it was amazing. But this, you know, when it happens, you're just, I cried, I got goosebumps. I think it just hit me at like a weird time.
And that's something that we even spoke about. It's like the movie reminded me of so many other parodies of these kinds of films in the beginning. And I was like, I'm going to watch it through that lens, and that's going to be a problem because I'm going to expect someone to say something dumb. I'm going to expect like some weird character to show up. But after half an hour, I got completely latched on. I was watching it for the, you know, for the characters, for Spartacus, to see what happens. Obviously, I know what happens, but just to see how it happens. And I enjoyed it. I forgot that it was parodied so much. Even though some of the scenes are unintentionally funny, I kind of stopped watching it through that lens after a while.
I think that, so we mentioned that it's directed by Stanley Kubrick, and it's actually very early in his career. So it's before he became the mega control, you know, that was Stanley Kubrick, who was somebody who could actually micromanage every element of his film. It's what he's famous for. This is not that kind of movie, you know. It's
apparently very much... he tried to take over the screenplay, and then he tried to take over the cinematography, but they basically just told him to shut up and stand in the corner.
Yeah, that was pre everything. Yes. Right, pre him changing the landscape of film. So, but there are still, I think, moments in the way shots are framed, in the way that edits are chosen, where you do get the sense of somebody who really has a keen idea of what aesthetics he wants to put forward. I'm thinking here of... there is a scene in the aftermath of a battle where bodies are sort of lying one on top of the other. And that's basically a painting. There's also a conversation... perhaps some might say homoerotic conversation that takes place in a Roman bath. And again, I think if you just took a still of that, framed it and put it up on a wall, people would believe that it was a painting.
Mm. And speaking of beautiful scenes, more conventionally, I really enjoyed the care and the sort of languid way in which the romance is done. So it's between Spartacus and Virinia, who's another woman who's a slave. And just the scenes between them, the looks, the way the camera lingers on it, it's such an old-fashioned idea of romance. It just toes the line with not feeling out of date today, but there's something very beautiful, and especially when you know where the story goes and what their relationship ends up meaning. I really liked how much time was invested in building that relationship up in the midst of this like huge battle.
I felt it was very Disney, the romance, like kind of it's not so realistic, like it's something you'd see in a play, like most Disney films, but it's also very timeless. Like you could watch it and go like, oh, that's sweet, or that's nice, and that's romantic.
They even cavort by a lake.
Yeah, by a lake. And by a lake and buy back like backdrops that look like other paintings.
Yes.
So it is very like sort of animation, quote unquote, in a way. Which again, I didn't mind. Like it's completely, those scenes are beautiful. There is one shot where he's riding off on a horse with her, I think. And it's in front of a sunset. And I'm like, there's no way anything should look that good. Because you know it's not CGI and you know it's not green screen. So like Stanley Kubrick actually shot that scene. And I'm like, this is like, you know, it's indication enough that he was ahead of his time even back then.
I wanted to say also, we've talked about the performances and Kirk Douglas at the heart of it as Spartacus just shines with this crazy mega, I am a star in Hollywood kind of glow. And then Laurence Olivier is bringing all his Shakespeare to the fore, you know, and you have all these different elements. Charles Laughton was great. Tone, John Gavin played Julius Caesar, and yes, the Julius Caesar. And I wanted to know what you guys thought, because I didn't think that amidst all the power struggles that were going on, he really stood out as somebody who would eventually win those. I didn't get that sense.
I don't think it was necessarily John Gavin's fault.
No.
I just think that character was written so poorly.
Considering it's Caesar.
Yeah, it took me a while to realize it was the Julius Caesar, just because of how dumb he seems, just like how utterly pointless in the space that he occupies in the Roman Senate. So yeah, that was an odd choice. I'm not sure why that was that way, but yeah.
He's like a piece of furniture.
Yes.
Right, it's like I didn't know why he was there. So I was trying to figure out like why he made a cameo. Was it like important, or was there like a reason for him being there?
Historical continuity.
Yeah, historical continuity. Like, you know, why do you have to like shove a character in there? But I don't know. I had like, you know, I had no idea. And I couldn't figure it out. But yeah, to their question, completely useless. Didn't have to be in the film, could have been deleted. Didn't contribute to anything.
And in closing, we have a couple of minutes left. This movie, when it was made at the time, when it was written, we mentioned right at the start that it was written by Dalton Trumbo. And so it does have overtones of
civil rights, right? Civil rights in America at that time. Hence the idea of liberation for people who were previously, you know, who were previously enslaved and so on and so forth. Do you want to see this film brought up to date in any way? Because we're still in that same space, I mean, in terms of mindset, where you could write a film that has these sorts of themes. And I think it would echo in the same way, although maybe not so much the white savior part.
No. I'm always hesitant to use... I can understand why it would have been effective at that time, because they were having very relevant conversations at that time. Now, I feel like sometimes it's a little bit of a cop-out when Hollywood takes a freedom struggle from a few thousand years ago and tries to conflate today's issues onto it, because it's just an easy way of not addressing today's issues. So, no, I don't necessarily think I want to see it adapted in that way.
I was going to say they should make maybe like a limited series, but then I remember that they did make a series called Spartacus, and I didn't like that. Like, it was like hyper-stylized. And I think that's the problem. If you like remake old films, you hyper-stylize it, you put too much CGI into it, and you modernize it, and then it sort of loses its value and its aesthetics and stuff. I'm not saying that Spartacus is exclusive to this studio or this story. Like, obviously it's not, but it was done in such a grand, big way that I think it's going to be difficult to redo that or tell that story again for modern times, or even if you want to tell, you know, talk about like modern problems and current themes and stuff. I feel they should just leave it alone.
Same. So I think Spartacus at the time cost more to make than the studio that they were making it for eventually sold for. So I think the studio sold for like $11 million or something, and Spartacus cost $12 million to make. And when I transpose that to modern day terms, right, the idea of trying to make something like this again, like I said, we had it. It starred Russell Crowe. It's called Gladiator.
Yes.
I don't really want to see another take on it. I think that Spartacus is a... for all my lack of engagement with it, it is a perfect product of its time, and I don't really want to see it touched.
I agree completely.
Can I just say that, speaking about the budget, there are these deleted like snippets, like new snippets in the Blu-ray that show you how they promoted the movie. So one starts with them saying this $5 million budget production, and then the next one goes this $10 million production. And the third one, literally, I'm not kidding, goes this $12 million production. And I'm like, whoa, Stanley's been using the money. You know, he's not been careful with the budget.
I mean, it shows. It
I
shows.
Love that
it
that's
shows.
In the promo as well.
Yeah, like the newscaster just went like, whoa, this is escalating fast.
So if you want to watch the product of what $12 million, you know, dollars worth of production would get you in the 1960s, Spartacus. Tell us if you're planning to watch it, if you've seen it, if you remember watching it in the cinemas. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.